listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
What's up, guys? It's JK3.
All right, so we're joined by a really cool guest, really honored to have him on. He's a retired All-Pro NFL kicker of 9 years for our Jacksonville Jaguars since the inception in 1995 to 2001. Repped us in the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, and he's up there. If you go on the Pro Football Reference website, in a lot of the rankings and kicking stats in practically all the categories in NFL history, and he now runs an organization called Pro Form Kicking Academy, and that is Mike Hollis. Hey, Mike.
How's it going, guys?
Doing good. Yeah, doing good. We appreciate you taking the time. First and foremost, just because, we just kind of talked about it, the Pro Form Kicking Academy, I kind of did some research beforehand, and it sounds like it's something that you're fully involved in nowadays. It's sort of an academy to help develop and train pro football kickers. How did that get started? And maybe give us the background in that and kind of how it's going.
Well, I started it in 2007, so I had a couple years after I officially retired in 2004. The period of time between 2004 and 2007, I was kind of like juggling a couple things, trying to figure out what it is I wanted to do. To be honest with you, a transition isn't the easiest in the world, because I played 9 years. So, right. If I had gone back and tried to use my degree that I got from the University of Idaho, it would be kind of like obsolete by then. So I'd have to go back to school and everything. And it's just something that I figured, I using the technique that I did in the NFL, I thought it's such a unique way of kicking in a sense that, I'm not a real big guy. I'm 180 pounds, 5'8" on a really, really good day after some traction and maybe some inverted, table sort of thing. But, I wasn't freakishly athletic, and I wasn't a great athlete. I was a very average athlete. And I did what I did in the NFL for 9 years. You kind of mentioned a couple things early on to open up this interview. And, I felt that, if I can do it, I know that other guys can do it. And I had seen a lot of, things around and a lot of the ways the kids were still kicking. And I cringe every time I see some of the things that they're doing and teaching, unfortunately. So I kind of felt that, I would love to pass on the information that I was given by my kicking coach when I was younger. And ironically, my kicking coach is my business partner in this academy. So it worked out really great. Yeah. And so I just, it was, for me, it was just because it was different, and it was effective and efficient, and everyone can do it. And the thing is, with most guys out there, and even unfortunately the coaches out there who are coaching kicking, they're kind of more or less coaching things that the kids are going to want to do anyways. And the stuff that I do and teach is a lot different than that. So I do kind of battle a little bit of that mentality where the kids, if they want a quick fix, if they want to, add 10 yards to their kickoff today, I'm not the guy to see, because the stuff that I'm going to teach them is going to take some time to progress and some time to develop. The kids that come to me for coaching, typically we find are the ones that are more committed. The ones that stick with it are the ones that really see the big picture and want to get to the ability that they specifically, their body type and their athletic ability and their size and everything that they can do. And that was my mentality. I went to junior college for 2 years before I went to the University of Idaho. So I had to earn everything that I did. And, for me to earn that and work hard to get to that level, I thought, well, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And it was the technique. It wasn't because I was athletic, like I just said. So I figured, I want to give kids a chance, because there's a lot of kids out there that are very passionate about kicking. And if they're learning the wrong stuff, if they're learning stuff that the most athletic guys in this world can do, only those guys can do, then they're never going to make it. And they're going to, get discouraged and stuff. So I really focused on trying to, give this information out to these kids and at least give them an opportunity, especially the passionate ones. That was me. I was very passionate, and I felt like whatever level that I can get, specifically me, whatever level that I can get as far as, my kicking is concerned, great. If it happened to be the NFL, even better. If it happened to be, you know, some semi-pro team, I don't care. Whatever it was that I could achieve, I wanted to do. And it's not going to be the case for a lot of kids out there doing a lot of stuff that they're already doing.
So is it like one of those things where on the first day of training, you'll kind of wear your Pro Bowl jersey to show off and show the person that you mean business and you got the credentials?
Well, I think if they came to me, I think they might have an idea that, you know, a little bit about my credentials, what I've already done. right. But even then, you still battle the kids that, you know, think my stuff is crazy. And then yet they're listening to some guy that played a little bit of Division III football. I'm like, oh, which one's crazy here? I don't know, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm just offering a service, and the ones that want to, you know, take the chance and not really the chance, really. Just, you know, agree to it and commit to it and know. And the cool thing about what I'm doing now is, you know, I'm 48 years old, and and I believe wholeheartedly is the fact that I can still kick the way I can because of my technique. You know, I'm not obviously 48 years old. You're not going to be very athletic, not nearly as athletic as you were when you're 20 in your 20s. So, but I can still kick pretty good.
And where can you hit it from, like right now?
I mean, you know, if I had some wind behind me and a nice, decent, you know, fat worked in football, I could probably hit it from 55, you know.
No way.
Seriously, yeah.
Oh,
I was drilling for like 50 the other week working with some kids. And you know, I don't break out my shoes very often, but I the guy said, you know, hey, are you going to kick today? I'm like, sure. And I literally didn't really warm up or stretch much. And again, it just has a lot to do with my technique. It's very controlled and smooth, and it uses 100% of my body into the kick. And that's the biggest difference between me and this, you know, any other kicking technique out there, is the fact that most guys focus on just swinging with their leg, and you need 100% of your body into the kick. And the only way to do that is to have forward momentum. And, you know, with kicking, it's a very lateral motion for most kids, and not for me. You know, so it's a different mentality, but I can still do it, which is great. Because the other thing too is having to show them and prove to them, you know, what I say in the office, going over video and kind of, you know, talking about our technique. A lot of times it's very, you know, head scratching. Like, how is that going to work? How is that possible to do? And I'm not sure if I quite believe it. I can go out and show them exactly what I'm talking about and prove to them that this technique works. Even at 48, it works.
Sure. I think I see on your website where you almost kind of had like a golf analogy on there in terms of how you're describing the form. The only reason I mentioned that is because I'm in the middle of golf lessons, which have not been very effective for me. But that's kind of one of the things that they also talk about in learning golf, is to, you know, have the proper fundamentals and mechanics. And it doesn't matter what age you are. If you have those mechanics, then you can, you know, pull it off and still, you know, hit pretty well. I want to say I saw some kind of golf reference on the site when I was looking at it earlier, but it seems like there's some similarity.
No, there. You're right. There is, the difference between what I would teach and what, you know, most guys would teach is the fact that, and I can get really detailed here. I don't want to waste too much time, but, most guys, because they're kicking really heavy with the leg, because that's what they think works, they kind of sacrifice their momentum by stopping at the ball. And that would be the same thing as a golfer walking up to stand next to the ball to hit it. He's clearly stopped when he's walking up and standing. Before he even takes his backswing, he's stopped. Well, that's what most kickers do, is they run up to the ball, they stop real aggressively and swing with their leg. The way I would do it, the way I would teach it is very similar to what Happy Gilmore would do, by running up to the ball and hitting the ball as he's running by it. That's what I would teach a kicker to do. That's my golf analogy with pro form kicking versus the other guys.
How about, because you've been doing it for a little while now, do you have any, I'm not saying you should name names or anything like that, but any kind of success stories maybe that have come from the academy in terms of guys that have progressed and, you know, kind of really made great improvements and made a team, or, you know, made it into college or as a starter or something,
you know,
like that?
We've had a lot of guys who have gone on to Division I schools and played, you know, played for Rutgers, had a kid that played for Vanderbilt, had a kid that played for Wake Forest as a punter, and Notre Dame, actually, but that same kid transferred to Notre Dame and still continued to punt. But we've had, you know, Nick Novak would be another guy would be a firm believer in pro form, even though he didn't really do it. He's kind of a muscle guy. He wants to muscle the ball, you know, and we didn't teach him to muscle the ball. But so he's kind of taken some of our stuff, maybe some of the other guys' stuff. But You know, there's guys that have been kind of floating around a little bit. We're definitely not like the other camps out there that have been around a lot longer than we have, and have a lot more kids that come to them, and they're doing a lot of showcase events. So they'll claim, you know, anybody that comes to their showcase event and does well, they'll claim them as their kid. Like, oh, we worked with him and he's now in the NFL. Well, you worked with him a couple times, but you really didn't teach him how to kick. And again, that goes with the whole mindset of what I told you about pro form and how it's a commitment. It's a process. I compare it to anybody who wants to be a heavy, a strongman, Olympic, strongman guy. You're not going to go into the weight room or go try to lift that tire that weighs, 300, 400 pounds. You're not going to do that in day one. You got to work your muscles and get better and stronger and do all that. It's the same sort of thing with the pro form style that we teach is there's a commitment level and you gotta work on it. And it's unfortunate, and I'm not gonna say much about the mentality of kids these days, other than I think there's a little bit of an entitlement sort of attitude sometimes and I want it now sort of attitude. And unfortunately it doesn't work that way with anything you want to. I mean, there is a best way of doing everything in your life. Any skill that you do, there is a best way to do it. And in order for you to do that the best way you can, there's going to be a process that you should, apply to your work ethic and do some things with that rather than just relying on your athletic ability.
Hey, and so you mentioned that, your process and, someone building up to it. From a player perspective, right now there's no preseason. What do you think? How do you think the effects of that not having that preseason is going to be for, the kicking game or just players in general right now in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tricky, because you're jumping right into it. Game one matters. I played for Tom Coughlin, so every game mattered. but, not to say that I didn't play as well as I would purposely in preseason. I'm still trying to make every kick, of course, but you're jumping right into the fire at this point. So, everything matters. And, you used to have the four games, sometimes five, of course, of preseason that gave you kind of the way of trying to, solidify your team. And, you got to work out guys and see them under pressure in game situations, that sort of thing. So that's going to be out the door. That's gone. Bye-bye. And the other thing, too, is the fact that, the mentality of the players, too, is, they're like I said, jumping right in the fire. It's like, oh, we gotta play this weekend, and this is the game, and so it's instantly affecting their mentality as far as, having to perform at game day, the opening game day level.
So, I mean, do you think there is going to be like a learning curve? Like, for example, I mean, the Jags, they got football here in almost 16, 17 days. So, what's the learning curve going to look like for teams? Or do you think it's a pretty narrow or pretty even because everyone doesn't have a preseason? You think it's out of the gate, everyone's got to do the same thing. So learning curve or no?
Definitely a learning curve for every team. There's going to be a lot of mental errors. The first two or three games, I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of mental errors. And that would have been preseason for most teams, clearly for every team. But yeah, there's not going to be any room for error, even though there will be errors.
You talk about errors, Mike, man, missing a kick or making a kick. You're the hero or you better start ducking and get to the locker room quick. For me, it's like you see the kickers and they're just by themselves. You guys are just kind of off in your own world, but you're focused. Like, take me through that. Take us through that. What's that like, man?
I'm different than a lot of the cliche of kickers that mentality where everyone thinks that, like the Adam Sandler video, Lonesome Kicker. I was actually in that video, by the way, for like a half a second kicking off. So you never know it was me. But anyway, that mentality, I think, for me, that really helped me a lot. And I really didn't do it on purpose. I was just a team player. And to gain the respect of your teammates and your coaches is as a kicker, of course, is to be one of them, to work out with them, to do things with them, to work hard and not go inside and duck away and hide, go eat pizza, play golf, that kind of thing. I didn't ever do that. Again, bringing up Tom Coughlin, we weren't allowed to do that. But I wouldn't have done it anyways. But I think that the biggest thing is gaining that respect from your teammates, because you know they know that it's a difficult position mentally. And yeah, it is our job. We've got to, you know, that's what we do all day long, is we kick field goals and we're supposed to, you know, make our kicks, which is understandable. But there are other things that can cause some errors, and you know, not to say that it's anyone else's fault, but the snap, the whole operation's got to happen in less than 1.3 seconds ish. So, you know, there is an aspect of this kicking skill that requires a very, very, you know, athletic and professional sort of a person to do mentally and physically. You got to deal with the mental side of it too. But the best answer I can give you is the fact that, you know, I earned the respect from my teammates by showing them I was a team player, you know, being involved in their activities and not isolating myself from them. I was a teammate. And I think that helped with, you know, the coaches saw that too. So, the coaches and the players, I definitely earn the respect. Now the fans and the media, you miss a kick, you know, you just deal with it. You know, in my mind, I'm like, they have no idea. Maybe it was a bad snap or a bad hold or whatever. And of course I'm going to get blamed. I'll take full responsibility for it, but I know, you know, it's something that happens, and that stuff is not really going to affect me. And, you know, some guys these days, of course, with social media, you got to think about it. When I played, there wasn't social media. So I couldn't have the ability to get, you know, criticized through Facebook or Instagram or any other social media platform. So I didn't have that sort of thing. But even if I did, I wouldn't really listen to it, because again, you've seen those videos of those guys, you know, let's put people to the test. Those armchair quarterbacks, Let's get them out and they'll put a little just kicking, you know, field goal kicking display out in front of the stadium, and we'll see how good these people can be. And how many of those guys can actually kick a football? Less than 5% of them can actually kick a football decently.
You know, you talk about that, man. We talk about that all the time. The armchair guys that just, you know, think they know it all, the keyboard warriors, the Twitter finger tough guys. In that routine that kickers do, I have two brothers that play college soccer. One has graduated, the other one just started, and one was all conference. And we went out to the park one day, started kicking a football, and he's like, "Dude, this is a lot harder than people think." People don't realize. He was telling me, like, "You think, oh, I played soccer, so I can kick a football?" He's like, "No, there's more to it." And he was about, Dan was probably like 45 yards out, and he could get it there, but it wasn't like, you know, he's like, "It's just not smooth. I just can't do it. You know, you got to be, you know, the routine." And it's funny, we have that here to ask you, routine. And he even mentioned that this was 2 years ago. So I guess, you know, you have to almost, just like a jump shot, just like a golf swing, you have to keep that same routine.
Yeah, and it's not easy to do in 1.3 seconds. And, you know, the plus they're not having the field goal block team coming at them. They don't have guys screaming profanities on the other end of the other side of the field, you know. And, you know, you don't have all that. But again, I ignored all that anyways. But it is a lot, definitely a lot more difficult to do it. And even as a kicker, kicking on my own with some sticks holding the ball up, that's pretty simple when you get into routine, you get to the level that you are, you know, in practice and, you know, even in the NFL, kicking on my own with my own little holder, or even Brian Barker, whoever's my holder, just putting the ball down, kind of easy. It's, you know, you can work on things, but then you throw this live situation in and the fact that now it counts situation in, then it starts to play with your mind a little bit. And what really makes, even the armchair quarterbacks that are under pressure, even when it makes, when they fail, it's really because they're trying harder than they think. They're second guessing themselves. And that's what really the difference is between an average, you know, kicker and a great kicker with regards to their numbers and their success when they're playing football in games, is the fact that, how are they dealing with this pressure? Are they adding more to it? Because when it counts, a lot of times you'll find kickers who try harder. They think they got to do more work, and it's actually the exact opposite. You have to just think about doing less work, really, and letting the form and technique, of course, if you have the form and technique to rely on, that's a whole nother story. But if you have that to rely on, then just rely on that and not physically trying to do any more. It actually hurts you to second guess yourself and do more on game day than it would be on any day of practice. So yeah, there's a lot of variables that go into
it. Yeah, you mentioned earlier, man, about, you know, not having social media and not being around that time. I don't know what's worse, like getting dragged on Twitter for missing a kick or having like a column written by Vito Stellino in the Florida Times Union. Like, I don't know which would be worse, man. Like, you could look away, but that paper, people will probably clip that up and just hold on to it. And yeah, I don't know what's worse, man, having the Twitter spats or Vito write up something about you.
Well, in my opinion, it's either one. It doesn't affect me because, again, they're not in the trenches. They don't really know what's going on, especially the sports writers. You know, they kind of act like they do, but they really don't. You know, and especially the, I mean, take the fans that have really no clue. You know, so again, as long as I'm okay with it, and this was kind of my motto when I was playing and really in everyday life, if I could look myself in the mirror at the end of the day and honestly tell myself that I did the best that I could under every circumstance that I was given that specific day, then I'm okay with it. Regardless if I failed or not, I'm okay with my effort because I can't do any better. So, you know, again, you have to just, you know, summarize it in knowing that you did the best you can. And if you honestly didn't do the best you can, then yeah, you can take fault for it and you can be upset with yourself. Clearly you should. But if you can honestly look yourself in the mirror and say, I did the best I could under the circumstances I was given, you have to be okay with that. And again, people say, you know, when I talk with classes and schools and different, you know, organizations and do, you know, some sort of motivational stuff or whatever. But I always tell them, listen, you know, I was never much of a goal setter. I didn't really set goals because I didn't want to, if I failed a goal, then am I a failure? Again, so my goal, if I ever had a goal, was to do the best I could every day under the circumstances that I was giving. That was my goal. So all that compiles, and if you look at the big picture, you don't want to set a goal that's way, too unexpected. Like, you know, it's a little unrealistic. And then again, you don't want to set a goal that's too far away because you don't know what's going to happen. Every game is different and every situation is different. So my goals, the goals that I would set for myself would be just do the best I can under the circumstance I'm given.
I mean, man, you've got me ready to run through a wall, man. I was only going to drink two beers tonight. Now it's six. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
I'm going to make the best Excel spreadsheet tomorrow.
So you've been a part of some of the most successful Jags. I mean, most successful runs that the Jags have had, you know, Pro Bowl, super decorated career, man. Most of the fans that listen to this may have had that taste in 2017. You know, not calling anybody a bandwagon, but, you know, that is what it is. And then maybe that 07 playoff run. If you know, from there, you know, what are some of the main differences that you see from those teams like that you were on versus the last, like, maybe 10, 15, you know, years of Jaguars football? Like, you know, what are some of the, you know, key, you know, maybe strengths that you see or some things that you're just like, man, there's no way this is how we, you know, run the table. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, the first thing that I can say is, you know, bringing up Tom Coughlin again, Tom was extremely good at finding talented athletic guys out there who were team players, who were humble, who were in it to win for the team and for the city, and unselfish is a better way of saying it. And not to say that the guys that we have now are selfish, but there is that little bit of an entitlement in the younger guys coming in these days. So there might have some of that. Again, I don't want to sound like all the guys now are entitled and selfish, but the aspect of having team players and guys who want to win for the team and all that is a big deal. I think Tom actually would pass on guys who were more athletic in a certain position, and he would rather choose a guy that was more of a team player and a hard worker and someone who was dedicated to football and wanting to win over a guy that had more talent than that guy did. There's a lot that has to do with the mental, you know, abilities and how people treat, you know, their job. And sometimes you throw a young kid a lot of money and they just feel it's not really necessary to perform at their highest level. So there's that aspect. And I also think there's a lot of inconsistencies. There has been a lot of inconsistencies with the Jaguars. I think there's a lot of things that kind of, you know, have happened even in the back offices and things like that. There's a lot of, rotating, you know, coaches leaving and new coaches coming in, and you know, obviously our new ownership group and, you know, the whole organization changed when Shad Khan came in. And, you know, when Tom Coughlin came back to the Jaguars, I thought, okay, good. You know, he's going to probably, you know, set some different rules and standards within the organization, like it was with us when we were playing back in the day. And even that, when he came back, we went to the AFC Championship game. So I'm like, okay, great. This is awesome. But it didn't happen after that, the year after that. So again, there's been a lot of inconsistencies. I guess maybe draft picks haven't been, again, if they're picking guys with the athletic ability and don't really look at the mindset too much, I don't really have a good answer for you other than just what I see from the outside. So again, I'm not going to say the Jaguars have made mistakes left and right. Not at all.
No one listens to this podcast. You could say that.
Well, I mean, it's great information. You know, these guys are good athletes, and it's just a matter of everybody coming together on game day. And if you're not, if you don't have your team, you know, behind you, and as a coach, of course, or an organization on game day, every day you're playing a game. If you don't have that team behind you 100% and wanting to win for themselves, it's going to be a struggle. Because every play is important, and if you don't treat every play important, you know, bad things can happen.
You know, when you talk about that, the entitlement piece, we talk about that all the time. And I'll go out and say it, that was a fact, that we had some guys on this team that were me all day long. And I think it ultimately cost us. But going back to your days, man. All right. So there's got to be a story or something that you can tell. A big pop on kickoff that not that many people may know about, that you might have hit someone coming down. Anything out there that we may not know, as far as like a big hit in practice or something? Maybe you put a guy on as you know what, and he didn't expect it coming from the 5'8" kicker, you know, that could kick some butt.
Well, I, you know, not necessarily, not really in practice. We, you know, we weren't supposed to hit, and clearly I wasn't going to hit anybody in practice because I, you know,
I know it's practice.
But I did tackle Herschel Walker.
What?
Not a lot of people understand that. Yeah. Yeah. I drug him down. He drug me for like 5 yards, but eventually he gave up. he saw this fly on his leg, and he's trying to swat this fly off his leg, and he just gave up, I guess. But yeah, tackle Herschel Walker and, you know, big kicks. You know, I've had some kicks back in the day. You remember the Buffalo game up in Buffalo, first playoff game. That was a big kick for me. And then go on to Denver and had 3 kicks again in that game. And, you know, I've had some pretty memorable kicks in my career as a Jaguar, of course. And all of those are, you know, memorable for me. And you know, it's not like you didn't see those games. I'm sure you guys all saw most of those games or seen clips of them. But, you know, coming back, some memorable times, of course, coming back from that Denver game and flying over the stadium at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, and to see, you know, 30,000 fans is, you know, screaming, you know, and arms waving and everything. And then, of course, we get on the ground and go back to the stadium and go on the field and do our, you know, our speeches and stuff. That was a really crazy time. It was a great, awesome experience. One experience I will never forget, for sure.
And really quick, all the armchair guys, everybody out there, none of us are tackling Herschel Walker. So I know I couldn't.
Period.
Yeah. So Herschel Walker back in his day was absolute stud beast, no matter what year he was in the league. So, you know, hey, Mike's got something.
I mean, I'm not even tackling Mike Hollis, to be honest with you. So,
Well, and you think of the little guys. You know, think of Desmond Howard. You know, he was on our '95 season team. You know, he was with us in Jacksonville for a short minute, and you know, when he went on to play for the Raiders, he was a kickoff return specialist for them as well, and. I actually tackled him too. I flipped him. He tried to hurdle me, and I remember the funny part about this story is we used to play a game in the front yard of my neighbors. It was kind of like fly up or whatever you call it, and it was just throw the ball up, and whoever catches it, everyone tackles, and the guy's got to run. Or what, you know, I literally learned how to tackle by playing that game. And Kamarik Vanover, I don't know if you remember him, but he was a big guy. I tackled him twice actually, but. The one time I tackled Kamarik Vanover and also Desmond Howard, where it was the same situation and the same thought that went through my mind as I'm tackling them was this game that I played with my kids in the neighborhood growing up. And I literally just grabbed his foot as he tried to jump over me, and that foot that I grabbed didn't go anywhere, and that tripped him up and made him fall. And I used to do that all the time with my neighbor kids. They hated me for doing it, but that was kind of the way I loved to tackle, because it was actually kind of funny. And the funny thing about this whole story that I'm telling you, or these examples of these tackles, is the fact that I'm actually thinking about that right as I'm tackling these guys in an NFL game in the middle of everybody. I'm thinking about that. Like, oh, my neighborhood. Oh, Mike, my buddy Mike Siegfried. I remember tackling him like that. That's awesome.
That's really funny. Well, just maybe wrap it up, I mean, obviously your assessment of the Jags kicking right now is probably positive, right? I mean, it seems like Lambeau's doing a pretty good job out there.
Absolutely. You know, even with Scobie and even with Jason Myers, you know, a lot of people discredit Jason Myers. I've always thought Jason Myers was a good kicker. I think mentally he got a little scared when the extra points went back to 33 yards. And I played a mental game with a lot of kickers, but I think Jason struggled a little bit with it. But Jason was a great kicker. Statistically, he was very good. And some people just write him off. Jason was terrible. No, he was good. And now we got Lambeau. And Lambeau is phenomenal. Are you kidding me?
Didn't Myers go to the
Pro Bowl? He went to the Jets and made the Pro Bowl, yeah. Now he's back with Seattle again. So he's back with the Seahawks again. And I worked with him a little bit. You know, Michael Husted and I used to do some things together in camps and stuff like that. And I used to help Michael with some of his camps. Let me put it that way. It wasn't my camps, but Michael worked with Jason Myers a lot, and I would kind of help when I could. I wasn't going to step on Michael's toes by any means, but Michael and I share a lot of the same sort of philosophies with kicking, so it wasn't anything different than that Jason would have learned from me. But Jason and I are friends, and you know, he's done a very good job, and I wish the best for him. I hope he continues.
I think I remember even Lambeau was kind of written off before he got to Jacksonville, right? And he's been playing amazing.
I think he had a little bit of a reputation in San Diego or something, like he was there for a little while and got cut. And I don't know what happened there, but you know, I've only met Lambeau one time. Nice guy, really, really cool guy. Met him at a Coughlin charity event, J-Fund event here in Jacksonville at the wine tasting gala, actually. But yeah, Josh is a good dude and a phenomenal athlete. You know, he's a ex-pro soccer player, and he's very smooth at what he does, and he's got a very good head on his shoulders. He can handle a lot of pressure, and he does it really well.
Well, thanks, Mike. We appreciate you coming on and talking with us. If you have any prospective kickers listening or somebody who wants to refine their skills, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you in regards to the Pro Form Kicking Academy?
Well, the website is proformkicking.com. Twitter's proformkicking, Instagram proformkicking, Facebook proformkicking. Everything Pro Form Kicking. You can just Google my name. You'll find it.
Great. And we'll be sure to put your information in the podcast description as well. And we'll throw it up on Twitter too. But we appreciate you taking the time. It means a lot, especially from an ex-Jags player and somebody that gave us a lot of awesome moments growing up with the team. So it means a lot you doing this. And, you know, maybe in the future we could have you on again.
That sounds good, guys. Have a great time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.